Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? I just had to jump out of the showroom floor and we reset up here in the back because we just got done listening to Jared Polis and all of the policymakers talk through, where before that we had a great podcast talking about development from within, and we talked through at length about how you have to figure out how to meet the people, the businesses, and most importantly, in a lot of times for system-built construction, you got to meet the municipalities where they are. And it was really exciting to hear Colorado talk through that, and on the next podcast, we're going to be talking with the OEDIT of Colorado and really zooming in and zooming out here in this deep dive series around Housing Innovation Alliance through the Housing Innovation Alliance. And this podcast, I'm so jacked up for, and playing off of one we just released, show 341, Lessons in Leadership. I'm super excited to where I just got to meet Garrett Moore, to where he just flew in and we jumped off of the showroom floor. And this podcast is going to be all around system-built construction and new platforms that are turning it upside down. And this company is Agoras that we're going to learn all about. And the main message is that this is a Navy SEAL turned system-built master facilitator. And that's why I referenced the show 341, where we talked about extreme ownership through the echelon front with a local plumbing company. And we're always talking about in the new master facilitator program, not most of the MFers that you think of in construction. And when you get to be a Navy SEAL, you're not thinking of the MFers in the battlefield. So one battlefield to another, it's an honor to have Garrett here on the podcast. And from one conference to another as well, I want to give a shout out where a couple weeks ago, we were just finished doing a bunch of podcasts. So I love doing podcasts where we go to events where you actually get to look eyeball to eyeball with the person, and you're taking that person in an event in those moments in time. And we record these, and then they all get put out at different times. But one conference to another is shout out to Nathan Woods, who runs the AEC Integration Summit. And at the AEC Integration Summit, I was talking about my passion of system-built construction and really blending the different solutions. And Charlie Dunn is the storyteller with through DPR. And in his podcast, you got to go back and listen to it. And we talked about Lego serious play and about the psychology, about getting people in a mindset to say, how do you plan better to execute faster, right? And there's technology and different things about that. And so Dennis and Nathan met last night. We had an Art of Construction Master Facilitators event, and we had a pop-up golf simulator, and we had this really cool system-built golf simulator, and talking through the trade-offs in construction. And at the end of the day, it's different tools with trade-offs, right? So without further ado, we're going to really now dive in on this podcast with a system-built construction master facilitator. Garrett, we're super excited to have you and have this conversation.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Let's start off speed round. What's your favorite beverage?
Extra añejo tequila, one cube of ice on the rocks.
All right. There we go. Good stuff. Tell us about your favorite place you've traveled.
I actually traveled and lived in Israel for a couple of years when I was serving the military, and absolutely loved it. It was a fantastic experience, eye-opening. Makes you love the rest of the world, but then when you come back home, you only appreciate it even more.
I'm excited to expand on that kind of stuff as well today on this conversation. What do you do outside of the construction silos that we're going to talk about breaking down that we passionately call the art of construction?
I live in a beach. That said, I'm a mountain kid at heart, so I love to get up into the snow and go skiing and snowboarding.
What beach are you at?
Down in San Diego.
Nice, nice. So you're the opposite of me. We live in the seasons of Colorado, and then we go travel at the beach, right? So it's a good deal on all the trade-offs.
It's a hard combination, but somebody's got to do it.
There you go. Awesome. Well, honor to have you here. What is your story that led you to being the CEO and co-founder at Agoras?
So I did not come out of the womb thinking I would ever get into construction. I grew up in Arizona. My dad owned a restaurant. My mom was a flight attendant. I grew up playing sports. Sports in school was my thing. I loved both. Loved being kind of part of something bigger than yourself. And so got a chance to play sports in college, played quarterback at Stanford. Loved team sports. Realized that the business world might not necessarily feel like that sometimes. And so as I got closer and closer to having to launch and go into the real world, sports wasn't on the table, thought I would join the military and keep doing that. So joined the Navy, went through BUDS, became a SEAL, and spent a career doing that and loved it. And I think it kind of taps into this like lifelong thread of love being on a team of people that are far more talented and far more capable than myself, but being a part of something bigger and the camaraderie and the coordination that comes with that. And so as I'm progressing later on in my career, I'm between kid two and kid three, go to settle down, bought a house, turned into an accidental developer. So I tore it down, went to go build it, couldn't afford to build it in Southern California because it was super expensive. And in my naivety, I thought I would shortchange the system. And I'm like, okay, well, just build it offsite. Not quite that easy. Went through six general contractors, fired them all, became the seventh myself while I'm in the middle of running a platoon and troop and raising small kids. Wow. And the breaking point for me was the modules were built up in Idaho. They were getting dropped down in California. I was deployed running a command in the Middle East at the time. Wife calls in the middle of an op. Babe, it's Tuesday afternoon. Can't find the plumber. I need your help. And that was kind of a breaking point for me of just like, damn it. Why are we still doing this as a society? This is a solvable problem with teamwork, with coordination, with technology. And so I think that sparked the passion for the problem, even if I didn't have a solution yet. But I think in my hubris or naivety, I was like, you know what? This is a solvable problem. This is worth launching career two and figuring out how to solve it.
On my intro, I talked about meeting Charlie Dunn, and he really was pushing people about sharing your story. And you just like dropped this story on your 30-second commercial that I want to unpack so much of that, because Charlie and I, if you go back and listen to the podcast, we talked about how we had partied all night the night before, and while we're there, he's like, I got to go swimming, and I can't even think of the place on it, so you got to go listen to the podcast. But it was in Austin, and there was Josh Bone and a few other of us jumped up at 4 a.m. and did this swim, and he was telling me about your company while we were doing this swim, and now I just met you, and like, so I gotta back up a couple times, just maybe selfishly, maybe Send I'm it. The only one. So football in college, what's your favorite story about being a quarterback at Stanford?
I had the fortune or misfortune of going through three different coaches. My third coach was Jim Harbaugh, and radically different experience. And I think huge fan of Coach Harbaugh, what he did for Stanford, what he has done for Michigan and will do for the Chargers. And just his passion and his exuberance really kind of had a formative effect, even though we only overlapped for a year, on what it means to be a leader and how to lead with engagement. So one of my favorite Coach Harbaugh stories, I still think about it to this day. I had left, I had graduated, become a SEAL, and came back, and I was speaking at the chapel service for the team. And he's so competitive, he wanted to have a push-up contest on the sidelines before a game. Like, that's the level of passion he had for just everything he does is at full speed. And so it was a great reminder of doing whatever you do in life at 100 miles an hour with no stop. And I just loved that. It was infectious.
Awesome. Now Navy SEAL. So I, on the tee up, I talked about my father-in-law is one of my mentors, and he's my Jocko yep. hero. And the local plumber who I interviewed, and they're big on the Echelon Front. And yep. at the end of it, they gave me all these books, and one of them was this, and the books were at the house, and I came with my father-in-law, and I came home, and he was like, Devin, I read this whole book today. He was there for my daughter's thing that yeah. weekend. And he's like, you got to read this whole book. And he's like, have you read it? I'm like, no, I just got it yesterday. I'm going 100 miles an hour, yeah. right? But the whole thing was, my wife, like a couple pages that night, and my wife's a PA in orthopedic surgery, and she's my hero, and she's like, I just read this one page about warrior mode. And just waking up of like, what do you do if you want to wake up every day? You just wake up and work out every day. And so I love sharing this story with you just as a fan uh-huh. of the art of construction and a fan of people sharing stories like Charlie talks about of Lego serious play.
Yep.
I think is the perfect way that he articulated that, because it is serious, mm-hmm. but Lego's not serious.
No.
But building a house and having to go through seven builders is serious of the psychology of the mental state of how hard it is. From what I've read, I'm not a Navy SEAL. But the tee up back to you is like just being in war. You kind of have to be in warrior mode in construction in a lot of phases to just get through it because it's so broken. And that's what we're going to unpack after we do this. But I'd love to hear a Navy story.
Yeah, I think in many ways, one of the interesting corollaries about military and special operations to construction that I found to pay dividends over and over is you have to plan your dive. So in other words, it's like, I think it's been attributed to Einstein and others, but hey, if you got an hour to chop down a tree, spend 55 minutes sharpening your axe and 5 minutes actually cutting down the tree. In many ways, mission planning is a very similar thing. You're going to go conduct a 5, 6, 7, 8K offset into the mountains, and you got to tackle the terrain, and you're thinking about what the enemy is going to do. And you've got a plan for as long as you possibly can. And in construction, I think we don't necessarily have that mindset. We just say, all right, throw all the operators at the target and we'll just see what happens. And spoiler alert, that's how people get killed and things go sideways and helicopters get shot down. Mm-hmm. And so for us, I think one of the things that we brought with us is this idea of if you are meticulous and thoughtful about creating a digital twin and thinking through every step of your process and contingency planning, expecting things to go sideways, expecting stuff to pop up, it allows you, it's like the old adage, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Then you can execute a very disciplined operation at the target, which in this case is the assembly of a home. So that's kind of the macro story of what translates from kind of the operational world of special ops into construction.
Thanks for sharing that. So piss poor planning is piss poor results, but you better have the passion and to fight through it on both sides of it. But the whole work smarter, not harder is really at the end of the day what we're talking about. Is we just left, Governor Polis was talking about and passed the baton to one of his team members. I talked about all the funding they're giving to the state of Colorado. And I was sitting at the table with my buddy Ross Cohen, who was one of those guys through Huron Components next to Steve McFaul before they had got on the stage. I was talking with, the whole thing was talking about more and more planning around design. And more planning is what every time is the secret sauce I keep hearing about. But we don't have enough time to just sit around in construction, just sit around and not do anything, because money talks and bullshit walks. So you have to figure out how to fast track that. And I've always been on this quest of using construction technology to help fast track that. So now let's go into So you talked about seven offsite solutions that all fell off to where mm-hmm. you said, this is enough, I'm going to do this.
Yep.
So talk how that went.
So I think that helped me understand that something was broken. I don't think I had a solution at that point, and I'll talk about it here in about an hour. But what I think I walked away with was a realization of human beings are really good at certain things. We're also really bad at certain things. Like if I ask you how many words in the English language have a third letter of H, it would take you a really long time to give me that answer. Computer could give it to me right away. If you asked AI is changing some of this, but human beings are much better at problem solving. And so I thought about this going, how do we better leverage tools that we have? And ultimately, my thesis around offsite construction is, regardless of how far down the continuum you want to go, you want to pre-cut some boards, you want to go all the way to modules, it all starts with a digital first step. And this is, to me, the chasm that industry has not really absorbed is, even talk to the largest public builders in the country, they'll tell you they're still working off of 2D AutoCAD and PDF. Yep. You cannot embark on the offsite journey until you've really embraced 3D plus 45D digital twins. And when you do that, now you can start to really think through all the pieces that have to get in play, and you can solve it in the digital world where everything is cheap. And then you can step out and start putting atoms in the ground.
It sounds so obvious from the outside, but when you get into knowing how the sausage is made in construction, it's not just a digital twin. It's digital octuplets of how it's all coming together. And we've done many podcasts around that. So now I want to talk about, instead of, we're all sick of talking about how it has to change.
Yes.
Why don't we talk about how we're doing that? And I think that's what you're going to be talking about with really cool companies like MyTech, which is the back engine of Ross Cohen saying that is the source of truth. And it really starts by the engineering of like how it actually, the kit of parts come together, because the tail wagging the dog of the architect to the GC with the gooey middle, you gotta capitalize all that stuff, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So is Devin coming from the global megaphone of system built construction, where are we at today with Agoras, and where do you want to go?
So the way I look at this, and I'm guilty of this too, I want to jump to robots. I want to jump to cool 3-foot blades that spin at 10,000 RPMs. I want to jump to the product and the building science and the materials of the future.
That's cool.
It's awesome. It's very cool. The problem is the very first step on this journey is crossing the analog to digital divide. And that's where Agoras is focused. And we feel like one of the challenges, I mean, we've been talking about offsite construction since World War II. We're not the first people to think of this. Where I think Agoras is trying to make its dent in the universe is in building a technology tool largely at the software level that allows us to cross that chasm very quickly. Imagine, hypothetically, in a fairy world where all of a sudden you could import a set of drawings and immediately using generative design have a full digital twin. Exactly where every nail in the house goes.
And we're there right now. Like, there's so much stuff that can come together, but you got to have a group of master facilitators that want to take that digital first step.
And so what we are trying to do is make that step so easy that you can basically just use software to go from 1D, 2D, all the way to 3D, and not 3D like at a render, 3D of a true gnat's ass digital twin of what the home is. And so that's really Agoras' core secret sauce, is we are making...
Oh, you mean the digital is actually what's built?
Exactly. But
it sounds so obvious on the outside, but I've been at this for 10 years working on
it's
digital modeling of like getting people to actually come together where clash detection is actually a real digital thing versus turning a blind eye and just go build it and then see what happens.
And this is where the software and the technology
is different people, why the problem is truly there.
It's a telephone game.
Yeah.
It's like we were kids in kindergarten. And so what we've done is really focus on the digital transition in a multi-trade environment. So in a lot of offsite construction, there's kind of this, my opinion, is a Goldilocks principle. You get either the folks, and this is not a knock against any of the business models, I'm just saying what we think needs to change or where we think it's different. On one end of the crowd, you've got maybe Entekra or some of the others that are just pure light timber. We don't believe that necessarily provides enough value to justify offsite construction. Yeah. On the flip side, a fully stuffed module is really also very challenging to fit into the industry. And so where we're hyper-focused is on the messy middle, which is all the rough trades getting up to sheetrock, and using digital tools to fully coordinate all the MEP so that your mechanical, electrical, plumbing, your doors, windows, your actual structural envelope, the shell, the weather wrap, all the stuff that's homeowners don't really care about, but is absolutely critical
to get
home.
Because
they
don't know to care about it.
No,
and then they're stuck trying to make all these decisions, which it's impossible. So it's just this no-win situation.
Yeah. So if I can summarize what we do or what we're trying to aspire to do is to make offsite construction so easy a caveman can do it. And that anybody can now adopt it because we're creating a process by which you can have a drop-in one-for-one replacement with the industry that doesn't require radical advances in engineering, permitting, et cetera. It's the same product that everybody's used to, built in a far more sophisticated way.
I absolutely love it. And I would kind of leave it at that to close this thing out to say, let's see what finds out.
Yeah.
Because actions speak louder than words. And there's a lot of people I've talked about on the Art of Construction where they come here to say, I have the perfect problem for a solution.
Yeah.
But they don't come saying, what is the true solution to the problem? Or just saying, I don't quite know the solution, but I do know this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to work with the master facilitators to figure out that.
Yep.
And these are the conferences where you're coming with a group of innovators because you can't innovate alone.
No.
You have to have a group of taking these different microcosms and putting them together into that project source of truth.
We jokingly, I mean, it's not a joke. We say it takes a village to raise a startup. This is not a one-man team. This is not a winner-take-all. And I think this is one of the challenges is the industry is kind of designed to protect risk and kind of safeguard. And the reality is...
Because it's major challenges at stake. As a Navy SEAL, I'm like the mindset of the beginning of this, of you're out there doing, and thank you for your services of what you're doing, but your home life, it's kind of like this push or pull that is so hard. It's major, like, you know, if you don't have a good shelter over your head at home, it's hard to go do the stuff that you were trying to do.
Yeah, and big picture, having spent some time living overseas, deploying overseas, I'm getting my soapbox here for a sec. I actually look at housing as a national security issue. And the reason I say that is because I think one of the things that makes America so unique compared to other countries around the world is a strong middle class. Middle class has historically been tied heavily to home ownership, home attainability. Yeah. And as you start to think about a future where there's the haves and the have-nots, renters and owners, if you degrade that middle class, it creates some political and social and financial socioeconomic challenges that put us in a weaker state as a nation on the global stage. And so I take this problem very seriously. I think it will be one of the defining challenges of our generation as we look towards our kids and our grandkids' ability to live the rags to riches dream.
So I got to ask you a question along that is, what is your goal for Agoras?
Our stated goal is to have 100,000, for our technology to have built 100,000 homes offsite by the end of the decade. We believe that's what's needed to move the needle at a sophisticated level to the point where it does to construction what EVs did to the automotive industry. It's now the new norm that has to get factored in. It's no longer a niche.
Love it. So as we close this thing out, what is your crystal ball for the future with technology and construction to make that goal happen?
To me, it's not an if, it's a when the nation will go offsite. The reality is there are too many headwinds on the labor side and too many tailwinds on the demand side for this not to happen the way it is. Now, it might happen where builders go kicking and screaming because there is no labor or the labor gets so bad, but this is going to happen. What I believe is going to happen is there will be one or two large players that are willing to take that leap. You'll hit an inflection point and then it'll become a quickly fast follow. So you fast forward 10 years, we will look at construction kind of like we do at taxi cabs right now. Yeah, of course I'm going to use Uber and Lyft to call a cab. A yellow taxi cab, that's passe. That's outdated.
Or a Wayfair in 10 years.
Exactly.
I mean, the evolution of that, just like the evolution of computers to the smartphone to the app, and that we're there. We're at the tipping point. And I really do think the computational power with AI and what can happen, and so many early adopters, if I think of over the 350-plus podcasts I've done, it's a lot of those people paving the way to get a tipping point to just make this get over the edge.
And I think you hit the nail on the head. It will be a tipping point. I actually don't think this is a gradual, like, 30-year play. I think it's the Sisyphusian rolling a stone up the hill. It's just push, 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 and then all of a sudden there's some event that all of a sudden tips, and now it's rolling downhill as fast as possible, and the industry can't keep up with this new trend, and then it becomes a foregone wave or conclusion, and this will be the future.
And I guess I'll get on my soapbox real quick before we close this thing out. Is like the gooey middle of people like Devin and the master facilitators of the Art of Construction in the middle aligning these stories of being you and I meeting here, thanks to Dennis making the email introduction and putting on this conference. But also me, when I saw the email, I was like, Agoras, that's who I wanted to interview anyway. And it's like the whole statement of sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. It's just like putting yourself out there in a way that your passion outweighs the loneliness or the character of construction, of to not be the MFers that you think of in construction. Because there's a lot of those when this tipping point hits. Wow.
Yeah. And it takes all of us slowly pushing and kind of fighting those headwinds, because it is lonely. And it is, I mean, industry is going to keep punching us in the face for a while.
No doubt. Well, what an honor to meet you here. And we're excited to go out and hear your fireside chat is how they've marketed it yet. So we have to close this thing out, and we'll make sure at the follow-up with Dennis and I and all this stuff and stay in touch and get you into the Master Facilitators program and see how we're going on this journey of the stated goal of 100,000. I commend you for putting it out there, sharing the stories. The final thing we always say of all of the quarterback at Stanford to the Navy SEAL to saying, you know, I'm frustrated about how construction works. I want to go fix it.
Yep.
What is that one thing you want to leave our builders and affiliates of the Master Facilitators who are all stepping up to get this stone up the hill to throw it over the edge together? What is that one thing you want to leave them with to go out there and crush it and grow their business?
I would say great is the enemy of good. Start with where you are. You're building one house a year, 5 houses a year, 50 houses a year, you're an architect, you're a general contractor, do whatever small level of innovation you can. Specifically, my call would be to digitize whatever the trade, the slice of the industry that you're working in. It's sometimes easy for us to sit back and go, I'm going to wait for somebody else to figure this out and solve it. But if each of us are just slightly pushing the ball down the field 1 yard at a time, pretty soon we'll put it in the end zone. And so I know on the days where I get discouraged, I'm like, man, I can't do this alone. What is it even worth it? I want to quit. Just whatever the thing that your slice of the industry that you can take part in, just focus on one more yard at a time. When we're going through buds, we used to just say, like, take it one evolution at a time. Just get to your next meal. Get through the next hour, and you're biting off an elephant one bite at a time.
I love it. What an honor. Thanks for sharing your story.
Devin, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Crush it out there, tribe.